Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Fourteen lines in the bottom. Yeah. 14 lines in the bottom. No. Yeah.
The two dots?
Two dots, 14 lines in the bottom. Okay, in the Mishnah Tzadadin. And then the Mishnah was discussing about answering Amen after a Jew that makes a bracha. You answer Amen, but you don't have to answer Amen after a Kusi, like you said, this questionable guy that makes a bracha. So the Gemara asks, the Beimer of should we say, the Yisrael that a Jew, Alpha Gavdalu Shama Kula Bracha, even if you didn't hear the whole bracha, Eina, you still answer Amen. You know, its implication of the Mishnah is that if you hear a half a bracha, you hear like only the second half, you walk in and somebody's saying, very many mezainas. You know, you say Amen even though you didn't hear the entire bracha. So the Gemara asks, v'chi le'sham, if you didn't hear it, heichan nafik, how did you fulfill your obligation? If you only heard part of it, the Gemara thought now, it's speaking that you want to fulfill your obligation by listening to the bracha. So Gemara asks, if you didn't hear the whole bracha, how can you fulfill your obligation? If you just did Bari Pri Agafen, you didn't hear the whole bracha. Amr Rechiyah Barav says, no, we're not talking about fulfilling your obligation. It's speaking B'Shalayach Alimahim. He didn't eat with them. He doesn't want to fulfill his obligation. The question is, can you answer Amen and a half a bracha? So the Mishnah implies that you could. V'chein Amr Rav Nachman Amr Rabbe Baravur. The same thing Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravur, B'shalayach alimayim, it's speaking what you didn't eat with them, and therefore the only question is, could you answer Amen or not? And the din is, you could. Amalei Rav Lechia B'rei, Rav said to Chia's son, Chateifu Baruch, grab and lead the, make the bracha. And as whenever you have the opportunity, he says, when you ever have the opportunity to bench, to do something, grab the opportunity to make the bracha. The same thing Rav Huna said to Rabbi, son, chateifu barich, grab and always try to make the bracha. Try to always to do it. So the Gemara asks, lemeimra de mevarich adif mimi da ana amen. You tell me if you make the bracha, it's better than answering amen. Rav and Rav Huna told their children, always try to make the bracha. So the Gemara says, but if somebody else makes the bracha and you answer amen, that's even better. Are you telling me now that making a bracha is better than answering Amen? V'atanya, it says in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Amir, Rabbi Yossi said, Godol ha'ina Amen, Yesim and Amavarich, that one who answers Amen is better than the one that made the bracha. Mm-hmm. Right? And the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Noiroi said, Hashemayim, I swear, in this expression, like by the heaven, I swear by the heavens, by Hashem, Kainu, that this is the way it is. That answering Amen is even better than making a brach. Why? And he gives an example. Shai Gudlayan are these common regular soldiers. Yordan go down, Umizgarim b'melcham, and they actually fight. And then, when they're done, Gibeidim yordim u'minatchim. And then the stronger ones come and finish it off. So in other words, finishing it off is better, and they get the praise, by the way. The ones that finish it off are the ones that get the praise. So therefore, he says, answering Amen is better than the making a bracha. So the Gemara really asks the question, why does Rav and Rav Huna tell the children to be the one to lead with the bracha if answering Amen is better? So the Gemara answers that Tanoihi. It's an argument of Tanoim. What does it mean? The Tanya, we learned in another Braisa, Echad HaMavarich, Ve'echad HaEmer Amen, that whether the person that makes the bracha or may answers Amen b'mashm is the implication. But, al shemamad and l'mavarech, it's better to make the bracha yesim ina Amen, better than the one that answers Amen. So there's two opinions, what's better, making the bracha or answering Amen? So Rav and Ravuna told the children, to do it. But the bottom line is, the halacha is, amen is greater than the making the bracha.
The question is, if it doesn't make a bracha, you don't, nothing is going to say
no. The question is, should you let somebody else make the bracha that you should answer amen, or you should be the one to grab up the bracha, to chap the bracha? So Rav and Rav Huna told their children, you be the one to say the bracha, and let everybody else answer amen. And so the Gemara asked, but amen is greater. So there's two. The question is, why is answering amen greater than making the bracha? So really, one thing the Gemara says the logical reason with the soldiers. First, you do the job, and then the bigger soldiers come in and finish it off. But there's two reasons in halacha, which brought down Shulchan Aruch, why answering amen is even better than making the bracha. One reason is because it's like a validation. What does amen mean? That what you're saying is true. So the guy says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hashem is blessed, and you answer amen, you validate it. You like, in political things, like you second the motion. Second the motion, it's stronger. Another answer is, the Alter Rebbe also brings down the Shulchan Aruch, a very interesting answer, amen equals 91. Aleph, Mem, Nun is 140 and 50. It's 91. Hashem's name is written Yudke Vavke. It's 26. How do we pronounce it? Aleph Dalid Nun Yud Ad Hashem is the way we pronounce it. There's the Kri and the Ksiv, the way it's written and the way it's pronounced. So it's written Yudke Vavke. It's pronounced Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. How much is Aleph Dalid Nun Yud? 65. Aleph is 1, Dalid is 4, is 5. Nun and Yud is 50 and 10, this is 65. 65 and 26 is 91. So when somebody answers Amen, he has not only the way Hashem's name is read, but the way it's written also. When you say a bracha, you're only pronouncing Hashem's name, Ad Hashem. You don't have the Yud Kei Vav Kei. But when you answer Amen, you have Hashem and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Ad Hashem. So therefore you have both, so it's a greater thing than, that's the explanation brought down Shulchan Aruch. Two things, either because you validate it, or because it's 91, which is Hashem and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud.
Better to make someone else say the Kiddush.
Huh?
Better for someone else to say Kiddush and you say Amen.
Well, you have the two opinions over here.
Well, the
Gemara does, even Rav is being the Chateva Baruch is also correct. Both are right. Both
are right.
You should do both.
And if you say Amen to the one that said it, you don't have to be Yotz. You don't have to be Yotz with theirs. You could also say yours. So you have both. You could say Amen and then do your own. Right.
Right. You can have in mind not to be Yotz. But if you had in mind that you wanted to be Yotz, that you wanted to fulfill your obligation, then you can make Kiddush again. If you heard Kiddush from somebody Friday night, during the day it's no big deal, it's very pure Goffin. But at Friday night, if you heard somebody make Kiddush, and you had a mind to hear the Kiddush, and you answered Amen, then the host says, oh, why don't you make Kiddush? You can't make Kiddush, because once you did the obligation, you're going to be saying a brach in vain.
But you have it in mind not to be yotzei, even though you said Amen?
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
Amen doesn't mean that you're yotzei.
Amen does not mean you're yotzei.
And the opposite, if you have it in mind that if new guests come, and you have to say it for long, it's okay.
That you don't even need their intention. If they come, you can make Kiddush again. Because they have to hear Kiddush.
As long as it's a male.
No. Kiddush for women too. Havdalah is questionable. But Kiddush could do it for women also. Then the Gemara says, the second of the wide lines. Shmuel asked the question from Rav. Mahu lanis omen achetineke shabes rabban. When kids are learning how to make a bracha, they're studying. Do you make a bracha? Do you answer amen on their bracha? Like if kids are being taught how to make a bracha, or somebody's learning for the bar mitzvah, they're studying to make the bracha. Amar Leih, so he answered him the following. You answer amen after everybody's bracha, except kids. Why? Because they're not doing it as a bracha. They're doing it to learn. If they're doing it to learn, they're not making a bracha. It's not a bracha that they're blessing Hashem and praising Hashem that you're going to say amen. That's not the intent. The intent is to learn how to do it.
Kids don't understand what they say.
Yeah, but still, but the Gemara says, Ani mili, but lo idem miftarayu. And here there's an argument between Rashi and other Mephoshim how to learn. Rashi learns that when they used to say the Haftarah, because kids, according to Halacha, can have the Maftir and the Haftarah, so he says, when kids say it after the Haftarah, you do answer Amen. Aval be'idim iftarayu, but in the time when they're taka saying the haftera, and they make a bracha on the teira and the neviim, then ein amen you do answer amen. Adam the Rabbi Nachanan, other mafashim learn that means over here that when they eat food, Moshe, if a child eats food, child eats a candy, makes a hakol. So even though really, for them it's only chinuch. Chinuch means they're only learning basic educational, because they're not obligated in brachas yet, they're not obligated in mitzvahs. Nevertheless, the Gemara says you answer amen. Because the fact is they're saying a bracha as a bracha. But if they're doing it only as a learning process, you don't answer amen.
They can say it by themselves. It's different.
Yeah, but I'm saying if a kid is practicing his bar mitzvah brachas, you know, baruch hu, the whole thing, you don't answer amen after that bracha because it's not made for a bracha. When a kid eats a piece of cake, he's saying it as a bracha. He's saying it to pray. Yeah. He might not be obligated in it, but if he's still saying a bracha, so then you have to do it. Tan Rabbanan learned. Shemen ma'akev es ha-brach. Divrei Rab Ziloi. The uncommon names of people, of Tanoim. It says, Shemen ma'akev es ha-brach. Rashi explains that in the olden times, before, when they ate, their hands got dirty. Because most of the time they eat with their hands also, because they didn't have spoons, knives, and forks.
Yeah.
So they eat with their hands. So then the custom was that when they finished eating, they would wash their hands with oil to give it a good smell, that it shouldn't, the food smell shouldn't remain. So he says, Shemen, if you normally do oil and you don't, ma'akev it's a bracha, you're not allowed to make a bracha. You're not allowed to bench if you don't have that oil. David Rabziloi, Rabzivoy Amar, ain't a ma'akev. It doesn't stop. Even if you don't have the oil, you can bench anyway. Rabacha Amar, Shemen Toiv Ma'akev. If it's good oil that has a good smell, but psamim, they used to put psamim into the oil, then yes. Rabzu Amar says, Keshem Shemezu and Pasal Aveda, just like a Kohen, who is smelly hands, is not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Kach Yedayim Mezu Amar is the same thing, hands which are filthy, psulis a bracha. Are not, you're not allowed to make a bracha on it.
Oil.
Yeah, but that's not good oil.
No,
it's not good smelling oil. It's an interesting thing. Let's. Good morning. Let's finish the perek and then I'll start answer your question. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, "Ana loy ziloy. I don't know who this guy ziloy is. I loy zivoy. I don't know zivoy. Loy zu amoy. I don't know this person." Yodain ala masnita yodain. I know a brayser. What does it say in the brayser? In the brayser it says, "Amar Rav Yudah Merav." Rav Yudah said the name of Rav, or Amla masnita. Ton other people said it says in the brayser. It says v'skadishem. It says in the pasuk v'skadishtem v'isim kadeshim. In fact, it's in these weeks' parshas. No, it says v'skadishtem. You should be holy. Elamayim rishenim. Speaking of the washing before bread. The yisim kadeshim is mayim achreinim. To wash before benching. Ki kadesh ze shemen. Ki kadesh, to sanctify yourself, is with the oil. Ani Hashem alekeichem, zu bracha. So therefore, if you see from the braisa that you have to remove the oil, odor, and then you're able to bench. There's two types of things.
That's the reason for an eglebus?
Nicht für ein eglebus, für mein Machreinen.
Mein Machreinen?
Ja, ja.
In der Mein Machreinen?
Ja. Now, can you add on Shabbos, can you create a smell? A good smell. So there's two parts of it to the din. Number one, are you doing it to remove a bad smell? Now, there's two things. There's a din on Shabbos, you're not allowed to create a smell. The Isser, according to all opinions, is on clothing. If you want to put perfume on your clothing that it should smell nice, everybody says it's forbidden. It's creating a smell. What happens if you do it in the air or on your body? For instance, the din, the Alter Rebbe brings down here, for the Koyanim over here, when the Koyanim in the Beis HaMikdash used to duchen, they used to put, you know, you pick up your hands, right? So the Koyanim would put oil on their hands that had a good smell. It wasn't to remove a bad smell. It was to create a good smell. So there are opinions in Halacha that say you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're not allowed to put things to make a good smell. Everybody says to remove a bad smell, you're allowed to. But the question is, can you use something to create a good smell? So there are opinions that say yes, there are opinions that say no. So some people are machmir, some people are not machmir. Just in a practical sense, even though the world basically holds you're allowed to, the Alter Rebbe writes it's better to be machmir, but basically the world is lenient on this. Can a woman put on perfume? See, there's two things. Deodorant is basically to remove a bad smell. Perfume is to make a good smell. So the question is, can women use perfume on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So basically the halacha is yes, Alter Rebbe writes it's better to be machmir. But over here, the Gemara is saying the purpose of it was to remove the bad smell from the food. So you would be allowed to.
You replace a bad smell with a good smell.
Yeah.
So it becomes even, you can do it.
Okay.
You were saying that in the Torah, and how you can put the oil on?
The Torah says you have to take put this oil, or at least clean your hands with water to my machreinim. Okay, that's the end of this parak. Next parak. This parak talks about a lot of brachas that people say for various different things. And we'll see in the Mishnah itself. And this parak is also going to talk a lot about dreams. If you dream this, if you dream that, what the thing is. But got a little while for that. Harayim Malkim Shanasa Beinisim LiYisrael. This is a much easier parak. There's a lot of stories in the paddock also of a lot of various different things. But the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Harei HaMakom Shenasa B'Nisim LiYisrael. If somebody sees a place that miracles happen to the Jews, like if somebody sees where the Jews cross the Yam Suf or the Yarden or, you know, various different things, if they see those places, they have to make a brach. Baruch Sha'as Nisim LaViseinu B'Makom Hazeh. You say a brach, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, that blessed is Hashem, Sha'as Nisim LaViseinu, that did miracles for our forefathers, B'Makom Hazeh, in this place. Makom Shenekrim Mimenu Akum, if you see a place the guy moved out of, in Eretz Yisrael, in other words, it's good, there's a brach, Baruch Sha'akad Akum Yartzeinu. Blessed is the one that removed the goyim from our place. Again, baruch doesn't mean baruch. It means baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Now, what happens if somebody sees zikin? And zikin, the Gemara is going to explain what it is. Valazayas, zayas are earthquakes, ra'amim thunders, ruchis winds, or brachim lightning. There's also a baruch. You say baruch shakeichi ugvarasei mali elam. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, shakeichi ugvarasei mali elam, that his power and his might fills the world. By the way, this is not necessarily the end of the halach of the Gemara. Alaharim v'alagvois, if somebody sees mountains or hills, yamim, oceans, naharis, rivers, v'ad midbaris, or deserts, you say the bracha baruch eise bereishis. Blessed is Hashem who created the world. Rabbi Yudai me, Rabbi Yudai says, harayas yam agadol, if you see the big ocean, and there's a big argument amongst the poskim, what does yam agadol mean? Officially, Yam HaGadol is the Mediterranean. Because that was the next Eretz Yisrael was the big. So that was called Yam HaGadol. Some of our Shem learn, it called the Ukanayas. Ukanayas is basically the Pacific, the Atlantic. It's the water that covers most of the world. What does he say? Baruch Sha'asa say Yam HaGadol. Blessed is Hashem that made the Yam HaGadol. Bizman Shereo Leprakim. What happens if you see it every so often? I'm sorry. It means bizman shereo leprakim. It's only when you see it, though, every so often. It means if you see it every day, you don't make the bracha. If you live in Monaco or Venice, and you see the ocean every day, you don't make the bracha. Now, alakshamim val psudas tevis, if you get rain, which for farmers, the agricultural industry, was a great bracha, or psudas tevis, you get good news, ayme barach ha-teva meit, then you say the bracha teva meit. In fact, it says, okay, absurdus rois, and bad tidings. What do you say? Dayan ha'emis. Like, we know, God forbid, somebody passes away. The bracha is bracha Hashem, dayan ha'emis. For instance, it sounds very strange, but in Shulchan Aruch it says, I don't know if people do it today, Shulchan Aruch it says that if somebody's father died, and they inherit a lot of money, so they say, dayan ha'emis, and atev ha'meitiv. And we'll see, sometimes you say Shachianu, and sometimes you say Atev HaMeitiv. The Gemara is going to explain what the difference is. Bane Bayis Chodosh, if somebody builds a new house, V'kone Kelim Chodoshim, or buys new utensils, he doesn't mean a plastic fork, it means, you know, expensive things. Emer Baruch Shachianu V'kimanu V'giyanu L'zman Hazeh. You know, clothing, whatever. Then it says, Mevarech al ra meina teva, you make a bracha on the bad, which is leading to good. Val teva meina ra, and you could recite a blessing on good that has a potential to be a disaster. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what the cases are of good that might lead to bad and bad that might lead to good. But he's saying even if it's not ultimately good, if it's a good that might lead to bad or bad that might lead to good, there's still a bracha that you have to say. Then it says, "Atzeik l'sha'avar." If somebody cries or davens for what already happened, it's tefillah shav. It's a wasted davening. You can only daven for what didn't happen yet. If somebody's house burned down, you can't daven. It shouldn't burn down. I mean, it's burned down already. What are you davening? It's foolish. If daven for that, you could.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you could. In fact, there's one thing, Taisis writes over here, that all these brachas that we're talking about, he brings down from the Paskim, Taisis says that you have to make brachat Hashem HaKenu Malach HaElam. When it says if you see it every so often, what's called every so often? Once in 30 days. That's why there's a lot of brachas, the Moshe, when you go to graves of tzaddikim or cemeteries, says a bracha, Sheyotzer Eschem Adin, Vezan Eschem Adin, Vechulkal Eschem Adin, it's a whole bracha you say. That bracha is only said if you went to the cemetery for 30 days. Mm-hmm. If you went twice a month to a cemetery, you don't make that bracha. If you weren't to the cemetery for 30 days, same thing Taisa says, when do you make a bracha on the Yama Gadol if you didn't see it for 30 days? But if you see it within 30 days, you don't keep making the bracha. No, anybody, any cemetery. Any cemetery.
What was the bracha?
Asher Yotzer Eschem Adin, Vechulkal Eschem Adin, Vehemis Eschem Adin, Vehotzer Eschem Adin. Huh? It's in the Siddur, not in the regular Siddur, it's in the back, in the Birch Sanenin. Yeah, but if you go, there's, if you went in the cemetery for 30 days, I'll show you, there's a bracha. Ha'isi ishtu mubedes, if his wife was pregnant, and he says, Yiratzen shetelet ishti zachar. Oi, Davin said his wife should give birth to a boy. He says, Arezu tefillah shav. Because what it is already. It's too late. Once it's a conception, the boy or girl is already destined. You can't change anything with it. Leia did. It was a unique thing, Taka, with Leia.
When would you drop him? Let's say, the third month of pregnancy, you don't know. Would you drop in one or the other? You actually don't. You just drop in for their health.
Pray that.
You should try
a healthy child,
but not.
Well, it's the implication. The Mishnah doesn't say how much pregnant, but whenever the fetus already, the sex of the baby is already determined, then it's too late to daven. The same thing he says, "Hayah baba derech." If somebody is traveling, V'shama kol tzvacha b'ir, and he's coming home from a trip, and he hears yelling and screaming in the city, like somebody's house burned down. So he said, V'emi yiratzin shleiteid b'teich beisi, that whatever this commotion is shouldn't be in my house. You know, it shouldn't be my properties. Harezu tefila shav. Again, it's a waste, because if it happened, it happened. You can't change it anymore. Like you bring down over here, what he should daven is, if the fire is in my house, spare my household members from becoming burnt by it. Mm-hmm. Or other mefarshim say, why is it tefillah shav? He should have trust in God that it's not his house. Should be tochen in amuna. Okay, then it says, hanichnas lekrach, if somebody goes into a city, into a dangerous city, Rashi says, it's a city where it could be dangerous, mispalo shtayim, he davens two davenings. Achas b'knisasi, one when he goes into the city. Like Rashi says, he davens that he should be peace. It should be peace. V'achas b'yitziyasi, and when he leaves, he davens thanking God that he left peacefully. So before you go into the city, you daven that you should have a peaceful time there. When you leave, you thank Hashem that it was peaceful. Benazi Yaimer Benazi says no. You don't daven two. Arba, you daven four davenings. Shtayim b'knisasi, two when he gives, when he enters. V'shtayim b'yitziyasi, and two when he leaves. Not one and one, but two and two. And he says, Neisin eda al sha'avad. What are the two when he leaves? He gives thanks for what happened. V'tzeik al ha'asid, and davens that the future shouldn't happen again. The Gemara is going to elaborate exactly what the four brachas exactly are. Chayev adam levarich al ha'ra. A person's obligated to make a brach on the evil, k'shem shemavarech al ha-teva, just so he can make a brach on the good. And here, the Alter Rebbe really, it's a Gemara later, but the Alter Rebbe elaborates on this in Tanya. If the Gemara wants to tell us you make a bracha for bad things, the Gemara should have said you make a bracha for bad things. What the Gemara says is, the same way you make a bracha on good things, you make a bracha on bad things. So the question, what's the Mishnah saying extra words for? So the Gemara is going to explain later, is what it doesn't mean stam, make a bracha. What it means is, just like when good things happen, you're excited and you're happy. The same thing when a bad thing happens, you have to thank Hashem the exact same way with the same simcha. Why? Look at me like that. Why? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, because everything Hashem does is really good. There is a hidden good and revealed good. The hidden good is even greater than the revealed good. To the extent, Alter Rebbe says, it's so great, it can't come down in a revealed form, an open form of good. It has to come down in a bad level of good. But it's even greater. So a person has to understand that when he makes a bracha for God forbid, bad tidings, he's making a bracha with the same sikh. That's what it's shame shemavarech al ha-teiv. You have to make the bracha on bad just like you make a bracha on the good.
Someone is sick?
Then you don't make brachas, you daven.
But say if anything bad happens, you make a bracha and you're happy.
No, you don't make a bracha and say, let's see. Shenema, how do you know you make a bracha and good and bad? You have to say Hashem alakecha b'chol levavcha. You should daven with Hashem. You should love Hashem and me with all your heart. B'chol levavcha. What does it mean, b'chol levavcha? B'shnei yitzarech. Because it really should have said b'chol lipcha. In Hebrew, your heart is lipcha. What is the extra beis levavecha? So the Mishnah says it means with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. B'chol nafshecha. What does it mean, b'chol nafshecha? With all your soul. Afilu neitos nafshecha. Even if they're going to take your life away. Like the word is going to say with Rabbi Kiva later. Well, even if they take your life away, you have to, which is the chayt of bad, you still have to love Hashem. B'chol meidecha. What does it mean to love Hashem with all your ma'id? B'chol ma'mincha, with all your money. David Acher, another interpretation. B'chol ma'idecha, b'chol mida umida. No matter what type of way, Hashem, whatever resources, anything that Hashem does, any measure that Hashem does for you, made them lay, thank Hashem. So you see, b'chol mido mido, whether Hashem does good to you, you have to thank Him. Whether He does bad to you, you have to thank Him. You always have to thank Hashem. Why? Because no bad comes from Hashem. It only looks bad.
To you.
To you. Yes. For another person, you have to scream, why is Hashem doing that? But again, the basis of all the simple thing is, it's really, I mean, it's easier said than done, for sure. The basis of this is, because we are blind and ignorant, doesn't mean Hashem shouldn't be doing what He has to do, which is really good. We gave many times the marshal. If you have somebody that knows nothing about medicine, nothing. He's from Africa, knows nothing about medicine. And he walks into Cedar Sinai operating room. And he sees there's a guy on a bed. And this guy is standing over him with a white robe. And he with a knife. And he's about to cut the guy open. Yeah? So the native who doesn't know anything about medicine will scream, murderer. He thinks the doctor is murdering the guy. The truth is, not only the doctor is not murdering the guy, he's saving his life. So because this person is foolish and thinks the doctor is cruel, the doctor should yell, you're right, I'm not going to do it. The doctor has to do what he has to do. If you're foolish, blind, and stupid, that's your problem. That's your problem. So Hashem has to do good. Hashem only does good. In our eyes, it appears to be bad. That's our problem, not Hashem's. Hashem has to do what He has to do. That's all. Okay, now the Mishnah says, Le'yekel Adam, a person cannot be lightheaded. And the Gemara is going to discuss more details of this. Opposite Shar HaMizrach, opposite the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, of the mountain, of the Har HaBayis. Why? Because Mukhuvin Kenega Beis Kachi HaKadoshim, because it's in the direction of the Kedesh HaKadoshim. So even though there's no Beis HaMikdosh, but out of respect to it, you have to have the proper behavior. So then he says, L'ichnonis L'Har HaBayis, a person is not allowed to go into Har HaBayis. Today, B'chal, nobody's allowed to go into Har HaBayis. This is speaking Har HaBayis when the Jews were allowed to go in because they were not Tomei. They're not allowed to go into the Har HaBayis, B'maklai, not with your stick, or your walking stick, Benali with your shoe, Pundasi with your money belt, Ubavit Shara Lagra over dust that's on the feet. Why? Because all these things are lack of respect for Har HaBayis. In fact, we learned this out from Meshe Rabbeinu. When Meshe Rabbeinu came to the burning bush, Hashem said, take off your shoes from your feet, because it's a holy place. It's holy Admas Kodeshu. It's a holy piece of land. The same thing, money belt, looks like you're doing business. So all these things you're not allowed to go. V'leyasa kapandria. You're not allowed to use Har HaBayis as a shortcut. And b'chal, this applies also to a shul. Mm-hmm. Some of these didn't apply to a shul. You can't use a shul as a shortcut.
Go through.
For instance, it's an interesting halacha. If somebody is outside the shul and they need to use the bathroom and they want to walk through the shul to get to the bathroom, you're not allowed to do it. What do you have to do? You have to stop for a second. Some people even manage to sit down. They usually say the part, Asher Yeshu Yisachar Yilu Chasela. So then at least you're not using it as a shortcut. At least you said something of Torah in it.
Ask me something, Rabbi. In the old days, the Jews used to take off the shoes when they walk into a synagogue?
In a shul, not. But in many countries...
In the old days, I mean...
Yeah, but it depends where. In certain countries, like I know... In a lot of the Middle Eastern countries, but the most places they did.
So the Arabs, they took that from Muslims.
Right.
Muslims took that from
Muslims. The reason they do it is that the oil is
Tamei. No, it's not. It's not out of Tamei. It's out of respect. It's out of respect.
The Arabs are more strict. They wash them.
Okay, now orikika and to spit in Mikavachem is definitely forbidden to spit on Har HaBayis. Okay?
What do you have to do is swallow it down.
Yeah. Or the Gemara is going to say later what you do. Put it into your sleeve. It's a whole thing what to do. Kol chayis mi brachas shebe migdash. When they used to make brachas in the base of migdash, they used to say, Hayoemim ad ha'elam. They used to say, Baruch Hashem alakei Yisrael ad ha'elam. That's until the world. Mishakukul at tzedukim. When the tzedukim would start making problems and they would say, oh, you're saying only one world. That means there's only this world. There's no world to come. Because in Chumash, clearly, it doesn't say anything about Olam Abba. And the tzedukim didn't believe in the oral tradition. So the tzedukim said, there's only this world. There's no other world. So in the Beis Hamikdash, when they would say, Baruch Hashem Ad HaElam, until the world, the tzedukim would say, yeah, because there's only one world. So what did they start instituting? They used to say, Hiskinu Sheyoimrim Min HaElam Vad HaElam. From one world to the next. Meaning, from this world to Olam Abba. Hiskinu, and they used to say, also they made a takana, and they used to say, Adam Sheol Shlem Chaveira B'Shem. They used to say Shalom Aleichem, not Shalom Aleichem like we say today, but they used to say Hashem Aleichem. And where do we see this from? Shenema, because it says, V'inei Be'ez Bami Beis Lechem, Be'ez came from Beis Lechem, V'yem Elokeitzim, he said to the workers that were harvesting, Hashem Imochem, may God be with you. V'yem Elokeitzim, they answered him back, Yivarechecha Hashem. But amen. It says like Rashi explains that when they said the Malach came to greet Gideon, he said Hashem imcha giber chayil, may God be with you, giber chayil, the strong soldier. And then another verse it says Ataves ki zakeina imecha, don't shame your mother to be old, meaning that you're not allowed to shame the elders of the Yidden. You have to follow the practices. And the Ve'emer, and it says also in the Pasuk, it says, Eis lasis l'Hashem, it comes a time for Hashem, Heferu te'irasecha, you have to nullify your law. I'll explain in a second. Rab Nosson says, in other words, even though L'Cheira, what he's saying over here, even though L'Cheira saying Hashem's name in vain is a disgrace, but the fact that the older people did it, the Chacham and Boyas and all those people, it comes a time that the Eibishter himself says, you have to nullify the Torah. And Rabbi Nosson Taka says, Heferu Torah Secha. What it means is, sometimes you have to nullify your law because Mishum Eis Lasis Hashem, because it comes a time to act for Hashem. There's a lot talking about over here that, just to say one example of what this is all about, the Gemara learns out that there's Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. There's the written Torah, is the oral Torah. The written Torah is not allowed to be said by heart, and the oral Torah is not allowed to be written. That's the halach even today. Well, the second half not. But Torah Shebiksav, you're not allowed to say by heart, unless if it's psukim that everybody knows, like parts of davening that we say. Otherwise, you're not allowed to say tillim and things like that by heart. In the same way, you're not allowed to write down the oral Torah. Torah Shebal Peh, in a formal way of writing, it's forbidden, the Gemara says. Privately, you're allowed to take notes, you shouldn't forget. But formally, to write oral Torah, you're not allowed to. Yet we know, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote Mishnah. And then they wrote Gemara. So the Gemara says, how was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi allowed to formally write Mishnah if Torah Shebal Peh is forbidden to write? So Rabbi Yehuda used as a basis this pasuk, what Rabbi Nosson is saying. Because he said, if we don't write down the oral Torah, we're not going to have it. Who's going to remember it by heart? How many tzaddikim, chachamim, are able to know the whole oral Torah by heart? So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said this pasuk, sometimes, in order to keep Torah, you have to break Torah. In fact, the same thing that Rambam uses, a similar logic, when it comes to desecrate Shabbos to save a life. The Torah says, If God forbid somebody has a heart attack on Shabbos, you call an ambulance and whatever you have to do, you do. So the question is why? So the Rambam uses a logic. It's better to desecrate one Shabbos that he should be able to keep many more. If the guy dies, you're not going to keep any more. It's better to desecrate one Shabbos that he should be able to keep many Shabbos. But it's self understood that this whole concept is only when the Gemara says it. I mean, I can't come along and say today that, you know what, people should drive to shul because if not, they're not going to come to shul anymore. So therefore, let's break Shabbos, quit Shabbos, because if not, you and I can't do that. Today, people can't do that. If you don't have a bayas, the Nevi'im, the Shaiftim, the Tanoim, and even the Tanoim and Amroim didn't do it when they were in the mood. But you can't say, okay, in order to keep Yiddishkeit today, we got to stop eating kosher because that's going to get people in, or Shabbos or anything like that. That doesn't work. You and I can't break Torah today because we're going to save Torah like this.
Moshe Rabbeinu studied not only the Torah, but you know, the Mishnah and the Gemara, but even the questions that were attempting to be.
Sure. Kol Masha Talmud Vasek Osid Lachadish, Fanitna Lamesha Bissina. Yeah, everything was given.
What's the story with Shubin learning Chumash at night with that commentary? Where does that come from?